Well, it's good to be together today, isn't it? Amen. That the video, the Skype with the guys and the wife from Nigeria, you know, even with the technical difficulty, and by the way, it was tested this morning. That was tested and it worked great. Anyway, even with the difficulty, even I couldn't understand but about every third word that they would say, right? But that was cool. That was special. It was humbling to see people in a place where we understand at least some of the danger that's over there. And it's humbling. And it's inspiring. And I'm proud of Greg for being there. And we want to keep praying for Greg and praying for the work over there and just the spread of the gospel worldwide. I think a struggle that we have daily here in America is, yes, we're Christians, but boy, it's easy to just live a good life in America. And it's easy to not be focused 100% on God and what He's about. Well, this morning's sermon, who are you? Are we volunteers or are we servants? So I want to kind of contrast those two today. Volunteers or are we servants? Have you ever said one of the following? I think I've probably said all of these, or I've thought them, or something close. I'm just a volunteer. And I mean in the context of helping in a church activity or helping church-wise. They better notice what I've done. I mean, I hope somebody notices. Okay, I better not get any criticism for what I did. In fact, they're lucky I did what I did since I volunteered for this. So nobody better complain. What do you expect? I'm not paid for this. Or maybe this one. What's the big deal that I didn't get it done? After all, I was just volunteering. Or maybe something similar to those. Right? Because as a volunteer, it brings a certain mentality. But to contrast a volunteer or a servant, here are some differences between the two. Volunteers have a choice. Servants have surrendered. Volunteers usually serve with less commitment than servants. Volunteers often need to fit their volunteer hours around other priorities in their lives. Volunteers usually view their work as a gift to the organization. They usually feel that appreciation is due them. They usually have lower expectations placed on them. And they oftentimes give as a reason for volunteering, it makes me feel good. And I have to say that if serving God makes you feel good, that's good. That is good, okay? That's right. That's how it should be. But just to caution that if the good feeling is my primary motivation, you know, why do I do such and such for God? Well, I just feel so good. That maybe shouldn't be my primary motivation for doing something for God. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 7. Verses 5 and 6 says, "For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." The word serve here, the Greek word is douluo. Is how it's pronounced, from the Greek word doulos, which means to serve. And it doesn't mean to serve in a glorified way. It means to serve as a slave, a bond servant. And so to answer the questions, what do Christians do? Well, a couple basic, you know, part A and part B. It's pretty simple if you really boil it down. What do Christians do? First, Galatians 5:13, we serve one another. And in Hebrews 9:14, we serve God. That sounds a lot like when someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? And Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. So same thing. We serve God, and we serve one another. And technically, we serve God by serving one another. Who are we? The idea of being a volunteer is foreign in the Bible. In the New Testament, the idea of volunteering is really not there. I think it's more of a concept in our history. It's more of a concept in in society, in community. And the idea is good. I'm helping someone. I'm volunteering my time or my energy. The idea of volunteering is good, but it's not really in the New Testament for us as Christians. The idea of us being servants is everywhere in the New Testament. And so to answer the question, who are we? The answer is we're servants. The term Christian is mentioned in the Bible in the New Testament more than once. The term Christian is a good term. So don't misunderstand. Don't come out of here today and say, Elliot said we're not supposed to call each other Christians anymore. We are Christians. And that's an appropriate term. It's an accurate term. It's a biblical term. But in the New Testament, what did people call themselves? What is a term they referred to themselves as? So let's run through some big names. Let's go with Paul. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And the word here in the Greek is doulos. Bond servant. Now that's not a surprise. Paul was a humble guy, and he didn't feel like he was worthy to even serve Christ. And of course he wasn't, and none of us are. How about Timothy? Servants. Paul and Timothy both, servants of Christ Jesus. Same word, doulos. James, a servant. This is at the beginning of the letters that they wrote. These are authors in the New Testament. 2 Peter 1:1, Peter, a servant. Doulos, same word every time. Jude 1:1, Jude, a servant of Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his, this is authored by John, to his servant John. Even in the Old Testament, Moses, in Hebrews 3:5, referencing Moses, who lived during Old Testament times, was faithful as a servant. And so we have some big names: Paul, Timothy, James, Peter, Jude, John, Moses. How did they look at themselves? Were they Christians? Of course they were Christians. But what did they call themselves? Well, in their writings, they would call themselves a servant of God or a servant of Christ Jesus. Look at Philippians 2:6. This is talking about Jesus. Philippians 2:6. About Jesus, it says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant," doulos, "being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." To be a servant, you have to humble yourself. For us to be servants of God, we have to humble ourselves. The word volunteer is found 0 times in the New Testament. The word Christian is found 3 times. Would it surprise you that the word servant is found over 40 times in the New Testament? Either writers calling themselves a servant or referencing other individuals in the New Testament. Phoebe, a servant of the church. Tychicus, faithful servant in the Lord. Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. We find phrases like fellow servant in the Lord, or servant of Christ Jesus, or servant of God, talking about other Christians. Even in Philippi, in Acts 16:11, there was a girl in Philippi, a young girl, who was demon-possessed. And the demon speaks out of this girl. Ironically, the demon speaks truth. I mean, as true as it can be. And look at what the demon says. Shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." There was an occasion a number of years ago where a trash truck, a garbage truck company, was having a hard time getting enough garbage men to work, pick up trash. And they were posting ads, you know, garbage men, job opening, couldn't get anybody. Changed the name to sanitation engineer. Got more than they needed. Sanitation engineer. When I was in college, I had a great job. My very best job as a young person in college. I worked at a conference center where different businesses, organizations would come and rent out their meeting rooms. Had a large conference center and then smaller meeting rooms. And you'd be, you know, someone would be in whatever they called their rooms. Always have goofy names for their rooms. But organizations would come, and they would have their meetings there. And so my job was to go and set up some things. My title, I had a title, Audio Visual Specialist. Okay? Audio Visual Specialist. I set up dry erase boards, flip charts, and projectors. And I don't mean projectors. By the way, Tori has us hooked up with our new projector here. We'll get one across the street coming soon. It's a great improvement. I don't mean nice projectors. I mean the type that you push the button and there's a bulb and you put your, you know, what's that called? Transparency. You put your transparency on it. That's what I mean. But I was an audiovisual specialist. Our society cares about titles, right? We don't have secretaries anymore. We have administrative assistants. It's the same thing. I mean, let's upgrade the titles. That's fine. Well, we used to have preachers. Then we had like pulpit ministers. Then we had preaching ministers. I can't keep up. I just go back to preacher. I'm going to stay there. But titles are important in our society. How do you want to be regarded as a Christian? How do you want to be viewed, called, regarded as a Christian? 1 Corinthians 4:1, Paul says, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, doulos. 2 Corinthians 4:5, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And then 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God, doulos. They were regarded as servants. They preached themselves as servants. Peter says for us to live as servants. And so we are servants. But there's a difference between serving and being a servant, right? It's a different mindset. To serve is one thing. To be a servant is another thing. To be a servant is more humble. It's less focused on what I want and what I deserve, and it's more focused on what God wants and what He deserves. Sometimes I don't feel like serving God. Sometimes it's not a good time. There are some times I come to Monday night for the Master. I don't want to come to Monday night for the Master. I don't want to come tonight. Usually, the spiritual side and the activity of serving God, well, I say usually, always, when I leave, I'm humbled and I'm grateful to be able to serve God. We're having Monday night for the Master tomorrow night. It will be our last one before the summer, which we do once a month, so I think late June is our next one. I encourage you to come tomorrow night. There's something for everyone to do. There's a yellow card in the pew if you want to look at the things that we do to choose one. If you want to fill out a card if you didn't already and put it in the plate. If you want to come tomorrow night, fill out a card, hand it to me, or just come. We meet at 6, we eat, and then we serve our Master. I love the name Monday Night for the Master. Now, on the one hand, it's a little churchy and maybe even a little corny, Monday Night for the Master. I can't say the letters. It never comes out right. But it's so perfectly worded. Because we come to serve, and we serve our Master. Why? Because we're servants. We don't come to volunteer. Don't come tomorrow night to volunteer. We come to serve. Because we are servants. When we became Christians, when we were buried in baptism, that's what we signed on for. A Master. Jesus is Lord. Lord means Master. Jesus is my Master. He owns me. God owns me. And so when we do serve, we do it because we are servants. And honestly, there are times we need to have the mindset that God, I'm ready mentally and spiritually at all times. And God, when my body is not ready, when you need me, God, which is someone needs me, and I don't feel like it, God, I pray for the strength to help me, but I'm ready because I'm your servant. I'm your slave. You're my master. I don't choose when I serve you, God. You choose. Big difference. Luke chapter 17 is a powerful, powerful scripture. And so if you're not the least bit humbled yet, read this with me. Try this one on. Jesus said, "Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Does that send chills up anybody's spine? That's humbling. But how could we say it's any different? How could we say, "God, I deserve to be treated better than that"? If we have that spirit in us about wanting to be treated better, that probably comes from our society, culture, maybe a little bit of being an American, pride of being an American, entitlement. It doesn't come from being a Christian. Because being a Christian is about humility. "God, I don't deserve it. God, when I serve you, I thank you. I thank you that I can serve you." That's our attitude. Ephesians 3:7, Paul says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me." You see that attitude? Paul says, "I became a slave to God, and it was a gift." Romans 6:22 says, "We are slaves to God, and the benefit that we reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life." We are servants. Let us be a church of servants. It's one thing to serve. I've worked on my lawnmower before. One time I changed a plug on it. Thing ran great. I mean, I felt like a genius. I felt good about myself. But I am not a small engine repair person. I mean, I've done a little bit, but that I've worked on my plumbing a little bit, not as successful. I'm not a plumber. I've done a little carpentry work, a little building, construction, woodwork. I'm not a carpenter. It's one thing to serve. It's another thing to be a servant, right? We cannot, as Christians, say, "I'm a Christian and I serve sometimes." We are servants, and we serve when God asks us to. Additionally, I serve my wife, but I'm not her servant. I didn't get an amen on that? Come on, guys. I serve my children sometimes, but I'm not their servant.
Amen.
Thank you. I serve my parents sometimes, but I'm not their servant. I am God's servant because God bought me. God bought you. If you're a Christian, if you've come up out of the waters of baptism, down a sinner, up a saint, you're a Christian, but you're God's servant because He bought you. I'm God's servant. He purchased me at Calvary. He owns me. I don't volunteer anything to God. He already owns it all. I can't give God something He doesn't own. I don't volunteer. I don't give God something. I serve God because I'm His servant, because He bought me. We're going to sing a song, "Make Me a Servant." I encourage you to think differently about who you are. Yes, we are Christians. It's an appropriate term. It's accurate. But understand, Christian doesn't speak to what I do. And I think there's a reason why in the New Testament we find that the followers of Christ, they refer to themselves as servants frequently because it speaks to what we do. What do? We serve. Why? Because we're servants. And so I encourage you to change how you view yourself in relationship to God. We humble ourselves. If someone's here this morning, in particular, if there's someone here not ready to meet God, if there's someone here who is lost, you've never had your sins washed away in baptism, you've never given your life to Christ, we would ask that you would come and do that today. Let us rejoice in that with you. Or if there's someone that needs prayers, we'd love to pray for you if you'd come while we stand and sing.